Good evening. Now, what I want to do is I want to taste Britain's cheapest beer for you tonight, and I just want to talk through nine pubs that I've been to in the last few days. I think five of them were on what I would call an epic pub spectacular. So that's where I go out of an evening and I try to locate the finest pubs within quite a large area. I think altogether I travelled for at least 30 miles. So these are pubs within 30 miles. And I'm going to sort of talk about the pitfalls of this and how I think this is affecting the pub industry overall and, the merits of cask ale versus lager. And I'll try to be witty and entertaining, give you a bit of an insight into it all and see where we're going with this. And of course, this is basically a breakdown of how I'm going to approach epic pub spectaculars during 2025. So first up, I've got Tesco's Ashfield Original Bitter at a whopping 2% volume. So that's what in the old days would have been called a small beer. Now, these kind of beers are absolutely perfect for me on a hot summer's day when I need some liquid refreshment. I don't want the elderflower with the fizzy water. I just want something that tastes like beer. And of course, you could blend it with lemonade, make a shandy. Sometimes I just want something that tastes of beer without being massively beer. And so, through the year, I just try out some of these brands. I'm not looking for a good beer. I'm just looking for something that's going to refresh me in the summer. So let's get cracking with this. Basically, it's a 440 ml can, and you can get four of them for £1.50. So that's way less than a bottle of beer today. So let's pour this one into glass. We've got a nice, pleasant sort of pale ale going on darker brown. Very, very nice, actually. Sort of orange notes, almost what I would call a copper ale. So from looks alone, it's scoring high there. Not that with beer, it's all about the looks, of course, just like women, eh? Right, so got a bit of a head on that one, so I'm just going to let that subside for a moment, and I'm going to talk you through the pubs that I've been to, and I think all or most of them, I've managed to capture some of the essence in the photographs below. So do have a look. So these are one, two, three, four, and one, two, three. Four, five. Yeah, so there's five Kent pubs here and four Sussex pubs. Now, the one thing you notice in the pubs in this area, most of them are remote rural pubs and most of them are deeply historical. Okay, the one pub I went to dates back to 1389. So we're looking at, some superb visiting material anyway, and they all have, or most of them have, an array of cask ales. So that's not your keg lagers, that's your beers pulled from the pump. And that's really what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the historic, the atmosphere of the pub, how friendly it is and what's being served essentially. And whether there's a wood fire or a wood burner, that makes a big difference to me, well, particularly in the winter. So, first up, now I've been in Wales for a considerable part of the winter since Christmas. So to come back, in February to Kent, Sussex is mesmeric for me, and I can't wait to sort of break my duck and start visiting some quality local pubs. So first up, I had the Flying Hoss of Bourton Aloth, which is a village just above Ashford, and the pub looks out over the cricket green, a very remarkable survivor of a sort of ancient village. I think it must have changed hands because it has beautiful open fire, but there were various things on the walls which were different to usual, and they'd replaced the very traditional hanging hops, which we get a lot in, particularly Kent. They're hanging usually around the fireplaces and the bar area, and they really add to the atmosphere of the pub. And these ones were utterly unbelievable. I realized they were plastic substitutes. So we've got plastic hanging hops. Now that I mean, that's just not acceptable at all, no matter how you look at it. Low maintenance plastic hops, you know? It's like having a, it's worse, isn't it? It's worse than having a plastic Christmas tree. Or drinking out of a plastic beaker, you know? But to be fair, it's the only pub in that area, and I can use it between two students' houses that I go to. So it's very useful to me. They do have a piano. There's not much point in playing it because they don't turn the racket down, you know, on the tannoy. But in most respects, it's a nice, calm pub, and they usually have two decent guest beers on. And so what I enjoyed was Black Sheep of Yorkshire, Black Sheep Best Bitter. And that's a pretty middle-of-the-road beer, which tends slightly towards a pale ale, hoppy IPA, I would say. But it was very, very enjoyable, and I was pleased with that, very pleased. And through the year, you know, I'll go to it during my in-between lessons, and I'll have some enjoyable beers, I don't doubt. And that's the point, is if you regularly visit one pub, even just once a week, you know, you can get an enjoyment out of the array of different ales they have. Now, quite a lot of local pubs, I've talked to the landladies about this, and they actually only do four different ales, and they do the same four, but they only do two alternately throughout the year. And that doesn't really cut it for me, so I tend to avoid those pubs. Right, so let's have a look at Ashfield Original Bitter. Okay, it's a really, really nice colour. I really love it, actually. It's one of the nicest colours I've had in a long time. It's got interesting sort of hoppy notes on the nose. Quite fizzy. You have to admit, where else can you buy a 2% beer in today's world? You've got four cans for £1.50. Tastes like beer. It's got a very nice, almost hoppy, very crisp, bitter aftertaste. Right, this isn't a beer that's supposed to get you drunk, okay? And it's not going to give you any cachet with your mates whatsoever. But if, like me, you have long times where you just don't want to be drinking tea or coffee, I have to say, cheap, easy to get, 2%, beautiful colour, beautiful flavour. For a 2% beer, I don't think I've ever tasted anything in that sort of genre, anything like it. I would say that is spot on. Right, now, whatever I recommend highly, I find 3 weeks later I've gone off it, but that's definitely looking in there to be my sort of house refreshment. Just a beer I can open before the evening sets in, before the steak goes sizzling and the red wines. That is just, it's almost what I'd call a cooking ale, as in it's something you can drink while you're cooking before you have, you know, the wine of the evening. 5 stars out of 5, that is perfect, right? You know, if you're a beer connoisseur, you're going to go, oh. But I'm a beer connoisseur. I think I probably know my ales more than just about anyone does. And I give that 5 stars. That is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And I expect I'll have some of that in all through the year. Right? Just, you know, like a midday drink. I'm not going to go, you know, over the breathalyzer with that. That is superb. So I highly recommend that as Tesco's Ashfield Original Bitter. 2%, £1.50 for four. Nice. Right. So next up we have the Ferry Inn, Oxney. Now it's the only inn on the Isle of Oxney apart from what used to be the Swan at... I'm just thinking my way through this because the minute I say it's the only... Yeah, there used to be one called the Crown in Stonecombe Ebony, but that's closed, and the Swan never seems to know what to do with itself since somebody bought it up and turned it into a gourmet pie pub, which just didn't work. So you know, if you want the Isle of Oxney, which is an amazing old island in the middle of Kent, it's not really the middle of Kent, it's the middle of South Kent, and it used to be surrounded by water, which has silted up and become the Rother Levels. But this is a beautiful old very historic pub, and it's had a new extension built on it, and I was a bit iffy about it, but I would say it's been done tastefully and sensitively, and the fire, which connects two rooms with each other, I think that's superb. So, you know, the Ferry Inn, I highly recommend. You'll get some decent, very local ciders, and there's always free ales on, and one of the ales will be their own Oxney Ale, which I think is brewed by Gochers, very, very good traditional brewers. So I always go in and have the Oxney Ale, you know, because I want to support their effort. 5 stars, I mean, it's brilliant. It's the most peaceful pub, you know, it's superb. And they do food, it's excellent, right? I highly recommend that. That's the Ferry Inn, Isle of Oxney. It's near Appledore. Then the best pub in Britain, the Red Lion of Snargate. I had the Rother Valley Blues. Now, I don't know why they call it blues, but it was essentially a traditional mild, and it really was good. Really mouth-crammingly good. So that was an excellent one. And I also had a pint of the Once a Moor's Head. That's Thomas Moore, you know. A very good darker brown bitter. Nice bit of sort of toffee chestnut notes there. That's, I mean, any of the ales by Once a Moor are superb. The best of them is called 1381 Peasants' Revolt. And that's almost orange in colour. And it's just, you know, it's a perfect Kentish ale. Then we went on to the Woolpack at Warehorn, and opposite the Woolpack is a church which has a bizarre square brick built tower, which you would be forgiven for thinking that perhaps they bombed it in the war and they rebuilt that. But as far as I can make out, the tower is at least dating back to the 1600s and probably earlier. Very, very peculiar. I've never seen anything like it. To me, it's the ugliest church in Kent. But if you walk around the back of it, the views you get are utterly stupendous, stretching right across the channel and across to Hastings. So that's well worth it. Absolutely brilliant foodie pub. Two huge, you know, inglenook fireplaces. And there's just a wealth of interest in there. And you can sit outside. It's beautiful in the summer. It's great in the winter with the fire. And there's a boar's head protruding from the fireplace. And they usually do some surprising ales. They'll always have two on. And they're usually very, very local. The exception was that this week they were offering Adnam's Lighthouse. But there was one called Freelegs Brown Ale. Now, nobody calls their be a brown ale these days, you know, it's just not done. You call it, you know, hoppy IPA or something like that, you know, or amber ale, but brown ale. And it really was superb, the ultimate brown, and it was 4%, and it was so lush. It was really, really traditional British beer. Absolutely loved that one. So highly recommend the Woolpack. So the Ferry, the Flying Hoss, I'd give that kind of 3.5 stars, really, because I can't like plastic hops. The Ferry Inn, I would give them at least 4.5 stars. The Red Lion is 5 stars going on to 10. And the Woolpack of Warehorn, I'd give that a 4.5 as well. Now, what I then did was I went across to, I have some students, piano students, that I teach online. And if I possibly, during the year, can meet up with any of them somehow, I will if I can. And we have a piano lesson. So I went across to Uckfield, where I have a boy who has weekly lessons, and he's doing grade one. He's absolutely remarkable. And I visited his home for an hour and a half. And then I took the opportunity to visit some pubs in the area, because obviously I don't get out that way very much. And there's a couple of the pubs are ultimate historic pubs. I mean, they would rate as two of the most historic pubs in the whole country. Now, the first one, which wasn't historic, was a pub I found north of Uckfield, and it's called Ringle's Cross. Very unusual. And I had a half of Cronenberg 1664, because they only had Harvey's Best on and the barrel was being changed. There's an open fire with a log stack, and I described the lager as having good crisp cereal bite, elderflower and horse hay. I mean, it's quite a refreshing lager, but, you know, even as I sat there drinking half a pint, I thought, heck, I hope I don't have to drink lagers tonight, because they're so gassy. They just fill you up, they bloat you, and they don't give you any goodness back. You know, it's a horror story, isn't it? It's just your footballer's sort of noncy drink. So I tried to avoid lager. It really is, it's a disaster zone. There's nothing quality, nothing good about it at all. It's just non-nutritional fizz water. And then I went on to perhaps the most unusual pub in the country, and certainly one with a totally unique name, and that is the Piltdown Man. Right. I'm going to give you some details about the Piltdown Man hoax in writing. But I have to say, of all the pubs I've visited in the last, say, I don't know, 5 years, by far the most disappointing. Because you think, good grief, this is a very, very exciting place. I mean, I don't know how old the pub is, how far it dates back, but it was named the Piltdown Man because of the hoax in the 1920s, right? So you expect a little bit of antiquity in there. I went in and it was all brashly super modern, very, very designer. If it had been anywhere else with just a name like, you know, the Horse and Cart or the Goose and Gander, yeah, lovely. It was obviously designed for, you know, designer restaurant foodie. And the pub was a bit of a, you know, well, I mean, basically I went in there and there was two pumps and they were both Harvey's. So I said, well, I'll have a pint of Harvey's Best, please. And I'd got a reading book, Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead, which I'm trying to get into because I'm trying to make myself focus on new information, essentially. So I had a very enjoyable time there on a sofa. There was, I think that was a wood burner, and I had this pint of beer, but they said, do you want crisps with that? Like, basically, if you dare to come in here, you better have crisps. So I said, yes. I said I'd have salt and vinegar crisps. And they charged me £8. £8 for a pint of beer, which you can get anywhere, and a packet of salt and vinegar crisps, which you can get anywhere. £8. Well, I've been charged £7 before now, and I think if you're going to charge more than £1 for a bag of crisps, it's an absolute outrage. But they seemed to think it was okay if they charged me £3 for a bag of crisps. Or was that £6 for, the mind boggles. It was probably, I've got the receipt, I didn't look at it, it's too shameful. It's probably £5.50 for the pint and £2.50 for a bag of crisps. I don't even want to know. There was only one thing inside that pub that had anything to do with the amazing and astonishing hoax legend after which they're named, and the reason why I even bothered going out there. It's at least 5 miles away from Uckfield towards Hayward's Heath. It's not an area that I would normally visit at all. It had absolutely zero atmosphere, and they wanted to charge me £8 for one pint of beer and a packet of crisps. It was a horror story, right? I'm not even going to rate them. They're not even getting a 0 star. It is appalling. Absolutely and utterly appalling. The only thing pertaining to the hoax was the, presumably a facsimile of the amazing picture, which is the entomologists or whatever they are that, you know, poke about with skulls and bones and decide whether they're actually human or orangutan, okay? It's a very, very, very fascinating story, and, you know, research it. It really is enthralling. I've got the original book about it, but I can't locate it at this second because I have thousands of books, and at any one time they're just higgledy-piggledy. But, yeah, it's absolutely riveting. The hoax of the Piltdown Man. And that was all they had in that place about the hoax was the picture, which I'll display in the notes here. I've never been so staggered and disappointed. And then I always judge a pub on its loos, right? Utterly awful loos. Utterly awful. Really tasteless. Didn't fit in with the rest of the exterior or interior, sorry, at all. I was gut-foundered. Really, really, really disappointed. Lovely interior, but not at all suitable for the historic, you know, propensity of the pub. It's the only Piltdown man in the country, for goodness sake. I can't go overboard with telling you what a horror show it was. I just wondered if there's any future for pubs or history or culture or heritage or anything in this country after leaving that. So then I went on, not far away, is a village called Black Boys. And Harvey's of Lewes run a very, very ancient pub called the Black Boys Inn. And it dates from 1389. Right, so as I went in, it's much, much smaller inside than it appears to be on the outside, which I found baffling. Everything is terribly, terribly ancient and really fabulous, you know. It was a very small, pokey bar, but the one thing about it was they were offering on tap three different Harveys, because Harveys is one of the great independent brewers of Britain. And I'd always wondered, why do we only ever get Harvey's Sussex Best? You know, why don't they ever put any of their other ales on? And this one actually had one called Sister's Ale. Now, Sisters will pertain to the Seven Sisters. The Seven Sisters are the chalk cliffs running from Burling Gap round Beachy Head at Eastbourne and down the coast towards Peacehaven near Brighton. And they are fabulously white chalk cliffs, like the White Cliffs of Dover, although they're tending to grass over. But they're, you know, they're an iconic benchmark part of southern Britain. So you just use the word sisters around that area and you're talking about the White Cliffs. That was only a 3.4 session ale, but I went for the 4.8% interesting Kiss. The Kiss. It's called The Kiss. Now, I last had that 14 years ago in 2011 when I was visiting the area. I went to Harvey's shop in Lewes and I bought bottles of The Kiss, and they stood it. I think it's a guy called Rodin, but he did this sculpture, and it's a bloke and a woman and they're just engaged in a kiss, you know. It's a sculpture, it's well known. But Harvey's, for some reason, they have done a beer, and they usually, all their beers are local themed. Like, they're was one called Thomas Paine, because Thomas Paine lived in Lewes, and so presumably Rodin lived in Lewes as well, or something. There's some local legend. But anyway, I was totally enthralled to see it on draft, so I had a pint of that, and I went and sat by the there's a tiny wood burner set in at a fireplace, which is an inglenook. So there's two I forget what you call them for a minute, trestles or whatever, you know, so you can sit right inside the fireplace. So I did that. And the beer is a pleasing sort of light orange gold. And it tasted, I would say, of absolutely nothing. Right. So eventually I found the ladies, which was one pokey little hole. I have never seen such an unkempt, tiny, uncomfortable toilet ever, anywhere. And it certainly wasn't pertaining to a 1389. It reminded me of the sort of 1980s, you know, railway station toilets used to get with graffiti all up the wall. So I'll show you a picture of that as well. Absolute awful. I have to say, you know, go there to see the history if you want, but I have to say, once again, I wouldn't even give it a rating. That pub was just, oh, I wouldn't go the back, no way. Sorry, those two pubs, the Piltdown Man and the Black Boys Inn, I'd really gone out there especially. Well, I hadn't. I was teaching. But, you know, I was really looking forward to them. And they both let me down fabulously. I wouldn't go back to either of them. Don't even want to rate the beer or anything. And that one was £5.80 for the pint. £5.80. Well, it's the brewer themselves runs the pub. £5.80. Good grief. Most beers are like £4.50 to £5.50 max in Kent, but, well, it was Sussex, you know. What does that say? And then I managed to go down a few lanes and up towards Heathfield, and I got to an interesting named pub, which is like, it's kind of, I don't know, turn of the century architecture, like 1900. And it's pretty small and pokey in there, but it's called the Runt in Tun. I don't think I've heard of another pub called the Runt in Tun. And I had a Sharp Sea Fury, which is one of those beers that doesn't taste of anything, but it's got quite a nice texture, and you sort of feel like, you know, well, at least you've had a pint of real ale. And I had pork scratchings. And I just remember how much I paid, but it was okay. I'd give it 3 stars, that one. It's definitely worth a look. But it's one of those pubs that, you know, the next time you go past, it'll be closed and turned into a house. Now, the number of pubs that I've been to between Heathfield and the Kent border in the past, and you go past them and you think, that used to be, and they're all sold off and they're all houses now. And I think I was probably the last person to have a pint in that pub. And that's without number. Etchingham doesn't even have one. Burwash, both pubs were closed when I went through at 10 o'clock. I went to Hurst Green because the Georgian has reopened. It used to be some kind of, I don't know, Asian cuisine, but it's reopened as a pub and it says Carscales. And online, it clearly says it closes at 11. I got there at 10:30 and it was all blacked up. Now, if you're going to run a pub, you should be last orders at 22:50. Right, so I then had to think quickly where else might be open. So I went through to Rolvenden and both pubs were closed. It was just after 10:30. So I pushed on towards Tenterden. The print house was closed. The Vine didn't look like it was open. So I just stopped at the White Lion, right in the middle of the high street opposite the church. And they were doing last orders at 22:50. Now, I have all respect for a pub in this day and age that will do that. But they were, you know, I wouldn't say they were packed, but there was plenty of people in there. So I had a pint of London Original Young's Bitter. And that's always a good, sturdy one. It's nothing special, but, you know, it's a decent real ale. Right. I would give the White Lion on lots of different levels. I'd give them between 4 and 4.5 stars. You know, I'm not going to make a special effort to go to the White Lion, but they're as good as any. Now, I'm telling you, right, I was in Heathfield and I had to go through to Tenterden to catch last orders. That is 25 miles. 25 miles of Kent, Sussex border countryside. Couldn't be bothered to have a pub open at 10:30 at night. I don't think the pub industry's got the slightest fecking hope. Right, when they do put on ales, it's always Harvey's Sussex Bitter or Doom Bar or something like that. Right, so you always get the same ales. Or Timothy Taylor's Landlord. I don't want your fecking Timothy Taylor's Landlord, your Harvey's Best or your Doom Bar. And I don't want to drink lagers. Sometimes I just go into the pub, I look at what they've got and just walk out. I did that recently with a pub in Elam. I said, what have you got on? She had Master Brew, but she said it was off. So I just walked out and I went opposite to the... And I got something like London Pride, you know. And then they've closed. So since November, 2 pubs in Elam have closed, which leaves the King's Arms, but they do a nice happy hour and you can get a pint in there for like £3.76, and they always have guest ales now. It's a really, really lovely pub, so I highly recommend that one. That's the King's Arms in Elam and their sister pub, which is called the Tiger Inn out at Stouting. Now, I won't have the crisps there because they're £2 for a packet. You've got to be joking, but the pints are usually about £5 and the interiors are utterly exquisite and they have unisex loos. I absolutely approve of unisex loos. Well, I don't have 2 toilets in my house, one for the men and one for the ladies. And as far as I know, all the men in the pub are the same type of men as you'd have in your house. So what's the problem with unisex loos? Come on. Grow a pair is what I would suggest. I think it's brilliant. Unisex loos, fabulous. So I highly recommend the King's Arms of Elam and the Tiger of Stouting, which haven't featured today because I haven't visited them since December, but you know, I'll be looking forward to going to them next week. So what I would basically say is the pubs are few and far between. They do ridiculous things like leave their wood burning stove off and put some cheap shabby little heater on, right? They have plastic hops. They only provide a very limited range of nationwide beers. You know, there's just no entertainment whatsoever in the pub. You know, what you want to do is get down to the Red Lion of Snargate Now, don't put a log on the fire because you'll get kicked out. Okay, it's just a tip. But as long as you don't put a log on the fire, you're welcome. There's a piano. There's any number of ancient pub games you could possibly imagine. There's a chess set. And there's, you know, conversation. The bar has the light of the fire and three candlesticks on the mantelpiece. That's it. It's small, dark and pokey, right? It's fabulous. They'll have at least three local ciders on, including a rhubarb or a gooseberry cider. And they have at least three and usually four ales on. And they're all local Kentish ales. Don't ask for gin. They don't like you asking for gin. I don't know, sort in here. You'll come in here and ask for gin. Don't ask for gin. Don't put a log on a fire. And only play the piano if you're Rachmaninoff, okay? Or Paul McCartney. But so long as you sort of abide by the basic house rules and you don't spill your beer all over the place and it don't be loud. You can have conversation, but keep it to a good, sensible level. Don't stand there being loud. He doesn't like it when people are loud. He doesn't like people that want gin and he doesn't like people that put a log on a fire. But so long as you're, you know... So I guess you can just knuckle under and play cribbage or something, right? Or just chat quietly amongst yourselves. Then you're welcome down the Red Lion. It's got to be the quirkiest pub in Kent. The landlady's absolutely exquisite. The level of conversation is incredibly scintillating when I'm in there. And, you know, maudlin the rest of the time. And it really is everything that a pub ought to be. Oh, and the loos are outside and they're, you know, Victorian. Right, so get yourself some of this Ashfield Tesco's cheap plonk. It's great. It's better for you than tea. I mean, the thing is, one of the reasons why you're getting ill so much is you drink tea. It's really bad for you. It's a cup which cheers and not inebriates. There's no way a cup, is it? And no way a cup is going to cheer. And there's no way something that doesn't inebriate is going to cheer. And obviously this 2% stuff isn't going to inebriate you, but I mean it's a lot better for you than drinking tea. So if you take nothing else away with you today, please get out, not only visit your own local at different times in the week, because you'll find different clienteles and you'll find the atmosphere in the pub is surprisingly different, right? Try a lunchtime, try a weekend, try an evening, an offbeat evening like Tuesday evening, you know, support your local, because you'll lose them forever. So many places have been sold off as houses 25 miles of the Kent-Sussex border. I could not find a pub open. That is appalling. Please support your local pub. They need the fiver more than you do, and you need the beer, right? Don't drink tea. Please just stop drinking tea. Get yourself into, you know, cask ales. Keep this amazing industry alive. There isn't a cask ale in Ireland. Think of that. They're all drinking that. I mean, if there's one thing worse than tea, it's Guinness. Right? It's not going to do you any good at all. It's just black water. Don't drink Guinness. Don't go into the Red Lion and ask for Guinness. And just find out everything you can about local ales. And just go a little bit further afield and find yourself on the map. 3 or 4 pubs in that area that you can visit, but you probably want to do it at lunchtime because they don't seem to want to open beyond 9 or 10 o'clock at night now, which I personally think is absolutely appalling. And never be ashamed to, you know, stand up and say this might have been a historic pub at one time, but it's an appalling, awful dump of a place now, and the ladies' loos are utterly disgraceful, right? But you won't necessarily know what the ladies lose like. So take a nice young lady like myself out with you, and then you can get a review on the ladies' loo.